Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Blog, with Mission from the Heart Radio on Blog Talk Radio. I just want to thank you for being faithful to this broadcast. I tell you, I get such a joy in coming to you all every Thursday with a word from the Lord, a teaching lesson. It's just a delight, and I pray that you desire to want to be used by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by our Father God, Yahweh God, who allows us to experience Him. And today, on this broadcast, we are going to take a look at a particular verse in the book of Proverbs, and we are going to learn or at least embrace wisdom today. And as the Holy Spirit led me to a subject matter for the broadcast this particular week, I struggled with that, and I wasn't really sure what the Lord wanted me to say concerning His Word. So I pray that you would follow along with me in this lesson. And the topic of this particular broadcast is embrace wisdom. Just as simple as that, embrace wisdom. So we are going to look at that in Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. But before we get started with the lesson, I have asked a sister in Christ of ours to open the broadcast in prayer, and that you would pray with her as we touch and agree concerning others that may be listening to this broadcast. So I would love for Shirley, if you would, to just take us to the Lord in prayer as we prepare our hearts, prepare our minds for this lesson, as the Holy Spirit reveals to you through Proverbs 3, verses 13 through 18. So Shirley, if you would, and I thank you for being a faithful listener to the broadcast, but also a friend and a sister to me, as well as those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you could, Shirley, go ahead and bless us today with a word of prayer as we prepare ourselves to receive the food through the Word of God.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, today, Father God, we come to you as humbly as we know how. We come to you wanting more of you, Father God. We need you, Father. Give us listening ears, Father, to hear your word on today, Father. We come to spread the news around the world, Father, to the lost, Father, that they may receive you, Father, and that they can hear what you are saying to your people. Thank you, Father God, for saving a sinner like us, Lord, to be able to put into our mouths, giving us wisdom and knowledge, Father God, for the reading of your word, Father God, and what it says, Father God. Let's be obedient, Father God, and have a listening ear to hear what thus said the Lord. And Father, take us to a higher level in you, Father, as we do this lesson on today. I'm glorifying your holy name. We thank you, Father God, for listening to us, Father God. For we know we are not worthy to be in your presence, Father God. Thank you, Father God, for allowing your Son to be obedient to death, to die for us on that cross, Father God. Have your way on today, Father God. The Holy Spirit, take control. Have your way in the host tonight, Father God, as she does the lesson, Father God. Give her more of your wisdom, more of your knowledge, Father God. Give her supernatural eyesight, Father God, to see in the supernatural, Father God. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done. And I thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Father God. That now we are yours, Father God. We no longer do what we used to do in this world, Father God, to satisfy ourselves, Father God. But, Father God, we come to you to honor you, Father God, and glorify your holy name. For you are the Lord God. Yahweh, I thank you, Lord. I praise you. I give you all glory and honor due to your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, sister, for praying. As we go forth in the Word of God, I tell you, I'm excited. I pray that you are excited. I pray that you come hungry. But most of all, I pray that you come and be filled with the Word of God, that you would go out into the vineyard and bless others with what you have learned. So many people do not know the sweetness of God's word and how it blesses, how it heals, how it revives, and how it draws us closer and closer to Him. He draws us in to Him, and that's what we want to share with others. So let's get right to the lesson as we come with our Bibles and, of course, with our paper ready to take notes. And it's going to be a ride through Proverbs 3. So Proverbs 3, verse 13, we're going to start there in the scripture. So if you would walk with me to Proverbs, if you hadn't already, and we're going to look at Proverbs 3, and we're going to read 13 through 18. And it reads this way. And I'm going to read it in the King James translation. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou cast desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. So that was Proverbs 3:13 through 18. Now, let's look at each verse in this particular passage of Scripture. Now, before we start, I want to give you the 3 points that we are going to address, that I'm going to address in this particular passage. Take note of this. First point being, she is valuable. That's the first point. She is valuable. The second point is, she is precious. And I'll repeat that. She is precious. And the last point is, she is pleasant. She is pleasant. Now, remember, our subject is on in wisdom. Embrace wisdom. And the first verse, 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, looking at our first point, she is valuable. But before I go there, I want to look at the word wisdom. The term wisdom has more than one meaning. We know that. But in 1 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul spoke of human wisdom and spiritual wisdom. Human wisdom can lead to failure in judgment, as seen in the rulers of Israel who crucified Jesus. Spiritual wisdom, however, is not an automatic possession of every believer. What does that mean? Paul indicated that believers can be carnal. Paul wrote that when he first went to Corinth, he had to feed the believers with spiritual milk. Now that can be a lot of us today. A lot of us lay claim to being a believer in Christ Jesus, not saying that you're not, but there's some things that are missing that the world may believe you are not a believer in Christ Jesus. And those things that may be missing is how you are choosing to live your life. So that kind of solidifies a carnal Christian, saved, but still not living a sanctified life or a holy life set apart from the world. Paul wrote that when he first went to Corinth, he had to feed the believers with spiritual milk. Spiritually, they were as immature as babies, spiritually speaking now. They were unable to comprehend spiritual truth beyond the basics. It is sad to realize that there are multitudes of believers today, who fall into this category. Even though they know many facts about, you know, the Bible. So many people can rightly divide the Word of God in so many ways, and they know biblical truths. But when it comes to actually living by the principles contained in it, a lot falls short, often living instead with the attitudes of the world. So we know what that means. We live in this world and we act like this world. Now, embracing wisdom is a lesson for those who are believers in Christ Jesus. And we want to focus on that so that we can have a deeper understanding of what Proverbs 3, 13 through 18 is teaching us. Now, this proverb was written by Solomon, King Solomon, who was the wisest man that walked on this earth. He was full of wisdom. And if you want to learn a little more about King Solomon, you could read the book of Ecclesiastes, a very beautiful read. So if we could develop the ability to see every situation from God's perspective, many attitudes and actions, our lives would change. This is more than just applying human knowledge and understanding. So looking at life from God's perspective, our attitudes and actions will change. So now let's look at my first point. Now keep in mind, we are going to look at she is valuable, because verses 13 and 14 said, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the purchase of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Speaking about wisdom, this is what we are to embrace. Wisdom is valuable, very valuable. Now remember, there's different types of wisdom, but our focus point is spiritual wisdom. Remember, Paul was speaking to the Corinthian people in a way that they needed spiritual milk. They were not yet eating the meat of the word. So they were still like immature babies. And they thought they were wise. They really believed that they were wise, but they were not. And that's us today. A lot of us believe that we are living a life that the Bible explains to us how we are to live, how we are to think, how we are to react. But we are fooling ourselves when we live like these in the world. When I say these, I'm saying those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who have not accepted him, the unsaved. So let's look at the first point. She is valuable. And you'll see why I say she is valuable. The biggest problem in this is the fact that most people are looking for pleasure and happiness in the wrong places. That was me. Unbelievers try to find happiness in partying, drinking, drugs, and sex. I just made mention of that. These are worldly actions. Unbelievers try to find happiness in these entities. Is it not ironic, though, that those who seek happiness most diligently through these things are often the most unhappy? That was me. I'm speaking of myself. I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And my choices and my actions showed proof of that. And I thank God that he snatched me from a spiral down lifestyle. The reason for their unhappiness and their suicide is their unwillingness to live by God's word. The propensity of suicide is their unwillingness to live by God's word and the principles contained in it. Satan has deceived people into believing happiness can be found apart from God. But nothing can be further from the truth. Now, you know, Satan has a way, and very cunning, deceive people in believing that happiness is found apart from God. Solomon wrote this, that people or persons who are truly happy is the one who finds wisdom and understanding. The context of Proverbs makes it clear that this is not human wisdom, but spiritual wisdom. This kind of wisdom can be gained only through living according to the Word of God. That deserves an amen. Now, in the 13th verse of Proverbs, it speaks of happiness of the person who gets wisdom and gains understanding. The verses that follow, which we read, explain why this is so. There are definite benefits for people who gain an understanding of the wisdom Proverbs refers to. It is important to remember now, however, that this wisdom is not equated with mere knowledge and natural comprehension. And that's what we need to understand. Not the knowledge and comprehension. There is a spiritual dimension that can be understood only by those who find it. You have to want it and hunger it and go after it. And where do we go to find it? It's in the Word of God. It's in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's through the Holy Spirit who teaches you and brings things to your remembrance and reveals the sweetness of God's Word through your time with Him. So we have to go after it. The benefits that come from this understanding are much greater than those that come from having financial wealth. Financial wealth, profit. Now, there is something to be gained from wisdom that no financial profit can match. Now, we've got to understand that we find happiness in our things, in our money, in our lifestyle. We find happiness in purchases. Remember, verse 13, happiness is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Those are tangible things, things that we purchase. We seem to think those things would make us happy. I was one of those individuals. I thought I had to have certain things, look a certain way, wear certain things, and think a certain way in order to fit in order to feel happy when I was really unhappy. So the value of wisdom, meaning she is valuable, wisdom is valuable, but it is not the type of wisdom that comes from what the world portrays as having wisdom or knowledge. Let's move on. Let's look at how wisdom, or she, is precious. Now, we know she is valuable because this type of wisdom doesn't come from precious silver or fine gold. But this kind of wisdom is valuable. Let's look at a verse in Job 1:21. So if you would flip over to Job, and let's read what Job 1 said. Now, remember, we're talking about valuable and how valuable wisdom is. And it's always opposite of what the world says. Job chapter 1, verse 21 reads this way, "And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I will return there. Jehovah gives and Jehovah takes away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah." Now, we know that everything that we own, everything that we've purchased, we know that we, when we die or fall asleep on this side of heaven, we cannot take any of these things with us. None. We can't take our cars. We can't take our jewelry. We can't take our homes with us. I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul connected or hitched to it going to the grave site. All of these things are left behind. Only what we have, which is our soul, ascends to heaven. So think about this. Value in wisdom is not purchases of merchandise. Job indicated, "Naked I came and naked I will go." Jehovah gives and Jehovah takes away. Blessed be the name of Jehovah. Let's look at one more verse. Let's go to verse chapter Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the understanding of those who understand I will set aside." Now, this is the Corinthians, and remember, in the introduction, Paul was addressing the Corinthian church or the Corinthian believers because he knew they were not spiritually mature. He said they were immature as babies, basically on milk. And he was trying to preach to them and teach them how to be spiritually mature and eat the meat of the word by allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the sweetness of God's word, his principles to live by. And the Corinthians, like I said and like I indicated earlier, they really thought they were wise, but they were not. So, let's look at how she is precious. Wisdom is precious. Let me reread verse 15 and 16 in Proverbs 3. Follow along with me. "She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou cast desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." Let's look at that. I like the way the King James translation starts verse 15 with "she." That really intrigued me because it made me think, why is wisdom called she? She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire, or thou can desire, are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left riches and honor. she is precious. Let's look at this. Wisdom is said to be more precious than rubies. Rubies are found in a variety of red shades and are transparent. They have several transparent varieties. Now, let's look at this. They are beautiful. They are second to the diamond. Now, the diamond being the most beautiful, the hardest natural substance known, but rubies, the transparent crystals from conridum or corydum, become rubies and sapphires. By comparing these two gems with diamonds now, we understand a little of their value. Now, remember the priest had a breastplate, and it had 12 stones, 3, 6, 9, 12, and that the priest wore that breastplate. One of the stones may have been a ruby. It was called sardius, S-A-R-D-I-U-S, in the high priest's breastplate. That probably was a ruby. And you can look that or read about that in Exodus 28, verse 17, just as a side note. Now, we're talking about she is precious. We know that stones, diamonds, are precious in their value. There are many Bible scholars now who think the Hebrew word in Proverbs 3:15 might refer to a pearl. But whether or not that is the case, it's understood that Solomon, King Solomon, is telling us in this proverb that wisdom is more precious than what we refer to as precious stones, as I stated. He said, in fact, that there is nothing we might desire that can be compared to having wisdom. Now remember, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon had everything he could desire. He had wives. He had land, he had property, he had money, he had servants. He was the king, King David's son. But you know what he asked God for? He asked God for wisdom. And God honored that. God gave him what he asked for. He didn't ask for more money, he didn't ask for more wives, although he had plenty, but still, he only asked for wisdom. So, let's move on. Solomon was telling us that wisdom is more precious now than what we refer to as precious in stones. Proverbs 2. Let's look at Proverbs 2, and let's go to verse 1 in Proverbs 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 7. And it reads this way. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Indeed, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her like silver and search for her like hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of Jehovah and find the knowledge of God. For Jehovah gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. And verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. These are promises from God, the one who gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding, according to Proverbs 2 and many other verses. But as it is indicated, it is more precious than silver and fine gold, rubies or diamonds, any hidden treasure. But we are to seek after her like so many in the world seek after hidden treasures or silver or diamonds. This is what we are to seek after. Diligently search. Proverbs 2, as we just read, verses 1 through 7, contains a series of verbs that describe how diligent we should desire wisdom. We must seek her as people seek silver and search for her as some search for hidden treasures. This kind of diligence we are to have results in length of days and riches and honor in verse 16. Let's read 16 in Proverbs 3. I'm back at Proverbs 3, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Now, in the Old Testament, God often responded this way to those who followed him. Now, we know Abraham is just one example out of many others. We would like to see such things happen to us. This is what we would like to see, that we respond to God as Abraham did. He responded to God by faith. Now, one thing we have to understand is we cannot put God or force God into a box and define his ways as whatever we want. Not about us. It's all about him. Now, remember, King Solomon could have had anything he wanted, but he asked it. He asked for wisdom. And this is what we should desire. Diligently search after wisdom. While we do not know when God might actually give a long life and riches and honor to those who are godly, we do know that he blesses us in many ways. We are safe in accepting this truth in this particular statement or verse. He is the one that gives us long life, riches, and honor. We don't know how long, we don't know how our riches may come. We don't know when honor comes, but one thing we do know, he gives it to all of us who believe in Christ Jesus, who diligently search and seek after him. Now remember, in these particular verses, it said she is more precious than rubies. And then it says, and all these things thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. And the reason why I express she and her in verse 15, because she is wisdom. And I replaced the word she with wisdom, and I capitalized wisdom. Wisdom is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou can desire are to be compared, are not to be compared unto wisdom. And we know wisdom is Jesus himself. He is our wisdom. He is our all in all. He knows all. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere at once. He sees all. He sits high and he looks down low. He teaches us through the Holy Spirit by way of his word. And we are to seek after wisdom. Amen. Let's look at the last point. The last point is she is pleasant. Now we looked at she is valuable, she is precious, and now we're looking at she is pleasant. Let's see Proverbs 3, verse 17 and 18. And let's reread those. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. Now listen to these last two verses very, very carefully. Let's reread them for the benefit of it really sticking. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Let's read it this way. Wisdom is pleasant, and all wisdom's paths are peace. Wisdom is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon wisdom, and happy is every one that retaineth wisdom. Let's look at it this way. Jesus' ways are ways of pleasantness, and all Jesus is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon him, and happy is everyone that retaineth Jesus. Let's look at how pleasant wisdom is. In verses 17 and 18, now these verses refer to the quality of life. And in verse 22, let's read that. Proverbs 3, and we're going to read verse 22. And they will be life for your soul, and a graceful ornament for your neck. Verse 22 says, of wisdom and discretion, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Now, while there are many facets of life that are disagreeable, when a person is wise and proceeds and responds to problems in godly ways, there is something delightful even when there is disagreement. What makes the difference is knowing that one is living by spiritual rather than worldly principles. Remember, verses 17 and 18 refer to quality of life. That's what makes wisdom so pleasant. There is an underlying joy when a person is wise and godly. We have joy when we are wise and godly. A way or a quality of life. Being godly does not necessarily mean problems of life are going to disappear, but it does mean there will be peace in a person's heart as we handle them biblically. So we don't fall out like the individual might be. Although we may disagree, we can disagree in peace. We can disagree in joy, and we can disagree in love. Now, you know, our culture seems to be becoming increasingly angry as seen in the growing phenomenon known as road rage. You may have had a little bit of it yourself. You may have experienced it from somebody cutting you off on your way to work or wherever you may be going. But this is evidence of a self-centered perspective of an ungodly response to frustration in situation. The question is now, should a believer have the same angry outlook on life as do unbelievers? We know the answer to that is no. We should not respond like they do. The obvious, of course, is we are to respond opposite. Let's look at John 17. Let's go to John, and we're going to go to chapter 17. And it reads, we're going to start at verse 14. John 17, verse 14. And I'm going to read this one in the NIV translation. I have given you, or given them, your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So we know that we live in this world of evil, taken out of the world just yet, but we are to be protected from the evils of the world. And we know who directs, stirs up that evil. We know that to be Satan himself. And that is John 17, verses 14 and 15. Let me go ahead and read 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. So we are to know the truth, for the truth sets us free from the world. Now remember, we still have trials in our life, situations that take place, but it's all in our response. Let's look at Romans 12. Walk with me to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 1. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So now that's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. So remember that we are saved by grace. We seek after wisdom, not of our own knowledge, not worldly knowledge, but spiritual wisdom and the knowledge and understanding through His Word, God's Holy Word, that the Holy Spirit is working inside of you, that it will teach you, that He will teach you how to live and respond and how to enjoy our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can experience Him. So we've looked at John chapter 17, verses 14 through 15, and we read Romans 12, 1 through 4. I believe I took it to 4. She is pleasant. This can happen only as we grow in the Lord, experiencing God. When we grow in the Lord and apply the principles of His Word in our daily lives, as this is a true wisdom. And as we grow in wisdom, we are spiritually nourished in much the same way we are physically nourished by eating the fruit of the tree. Wisdom becomes a tree of life, as it may mention in verse 18. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom becomes a tree of life to us, and we experience genuine happiness found nowhere else. Nowhere else is wisdom found other than enjoying the fruit that comes from the tree of life. I taught a lesson some months back on eating from the tree of life and how the tree of life is mentioned in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis. And we know that the tree of life is Jesus. He is the life-giving tree. And we are to eat the fruit from that tree, the very Word of God. This is what grows us in wisdom and in truth, and we are spiritually nourished. We know that Jesus died on the cross for you and me, that we will have eternal life, that we will not perish. And it was because of his blood that our sins were covered. And I pray, brothers and sisters, as you think about embracing wisdom, we are embracing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Don't get it mixed up. Nothing wrong with education, nothing wrong with furthering our education, nothing wrong with studying something in order to achieve something concerning business or skill. But don't misunderstand what Proverbs 3:13-18 teaches. She is valuable, she is precious, she is pleasant. Wisdom is valuable, wisdom is precious, wisdom is pleasant. Jesus is valuable, he paid it all. All to him I owe. Jesus is precious. He's more precious than silver and gold. All I want is Jesus. He is more precious than silver and gold, rubies and pearls and diamonds. Jesus pleasant. We can experience him while we are on this earth. The Holy Spirit lives with inside of us. Don't forget that. Pursue wisdom. Pursue Jesus. Experience wisdom. Experience Jesus. Eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life eternal. He is our promise to eternity. The Word of God grows us spiritually, makes us stronger. We can stand in the face of the enemy and say, greater is he that lives within me than he that is in the world. For it is written, the word of God going in and coming out. The word of God is enjoyable. It's a joy to have wisdom, to have Jesus. Remember, at the cross is where Jesus laid his life down. He didn't stay there. At the cross is where the battle was settled. Victory was won at the cross. When they took him to the grave and they buried him and put him in a borrowed tomb and shut the tomb, the rocks couldn't hold him. He got up from the grave, and he walked out of that tomb, and he lives today, sitting on the right-hand side of our Father, making intercession for you and me. Jesus, he is our life-giving tree. Embrace him today. And I pray that as we come to a close in this particular lesson, I hope that you gained something that the Holy Spirit has revealed to you through embracing wisdom. We need to recognize the central place that wisdom should have in our lives. And that central place is in our heart. for I want to pray a prayer of salvation for somebody who may not know wisdom, who may not know Him, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. So if you would pray with me before we end our broadcast, that somebody who's listening in the world today to this program, to Mission from the Heart, that they would come and surrender their lives, surrender their heart to Jesus. So brothers and sisters, as you partner with me in prayer, pray with me as I pray this prayer. And those who are not saved, please prepare your heart to receive wisdom that you will experience the value of wisdom, the preciousness of wisdom, and the pleasantness of wisdom. So if you would bow your head and humble your heart, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, for I surrender my life to you, for I believe that you died on that cross for me. You covered my sins, your blood. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For I believe that by faith that you did that for me. Lord, please forgive me of my sins, that I would be washed brand new. Come into my heart, Lord God. Save me, for I hunger for you. Allow your Holy Spirit to fall fresh upon my heart. I desire you. I want to experience you. I want to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I thank you for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio, and I pray that you have accepted our Lord and Savior as your Lord and Savior. And I pray that you would get into a Bible-believing church, a church that is teaching the Bible, and that you would connect yourself to a Sunday school class or in your church or a discipleship class that would disciple you in the Word of God, that you would gain wisdom, that you would come to the understanding of God's character and His love, that you would grow so beautifully in grace, that you would go out into the vineyard and work because of the harvest is so plenty. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for your faithfulness to this broadcast, and thank you for your faithfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Always remember this, that the grass withers and the flowers fadeth away, but the Word of God remains forever. God bless you, and thank you for being faithful. And if you desire to listen to this broadcast again, or even share the link with someone that you know will be blessed by this lesson, Embrace Wisdom, just go back to www.blogtalkradio.com/heart-to-heart, heart, the number two, heart, M-F-T-H. And that means Mission from the Heart. And you would click on this broadcast, this Embrace Wisdom. And you can revisit this and share it with others. Email somebody. Text the individual this broadcast or this link and this episode, Embrace Wisdom, that they would be blessed by it. Thank you again. And we will meet again next week for Mission from the Heart.